The numbers in Verbum Domini that I want to talk about are numbers 57 and 58, which have to do a lot with the Word of God in the Church, mostly the Word of God at the liturgy. So this whole paragraph, section number 57, is devoted to sacred scripture and the lectionary. Now you may remember I want to read it for you once again. The sacramentality of the word can thus be understood by analogy with the real presence of Christ under the appearances of the consecrated bread and wine. By approaching the altar and partaking in the Eucharistic banquet, we truly share in the body and blood of Christ. The proclamation of God's word at the celebration entails an acknowledgement that Christ himself is present, that he speaks to us, and that he wishes to be heard. This is very solemn. Now we move on. That's the background, you see, because then the role of the reader is to be the instrument of the Lord. Because when the texts are read, as the Council tells us, it is Christ proclaiming his gospel. So the text goes, in stressing the bond between Word and Eucharist, the Synod also rightly wanted to call attention to certain aspects of the celebration which concern the service of the Word. In the first place, I wish to mention the importance of the lectionary. The reform called for by the Second Vatican Council has borne fruit in a richer access to sacred scripture, which is now offered in abundance, especially at Sunday Mass. Some of you may not remember, because it's so long now since we had the other lectionary, where we had the same reading over and over again. Every time there was a feast of a confessor of the faith, we had that reading. So you could have it two or three times a week. What we have now is that we go through, for instance, we will be, when you hear this, we will be still in cycle B, the Gospel of Mark. Matthew 1 year, Mark and then Luke. And we do what they call Lectio Continua. Now it's not exactly continual, but they go through, and then the first reading is somewhere else, and they're joined by the Psalms. So it's a way that the people of God, especially if they can get to daily Mass, are exposed to the Scriptures. That again accents the importance of preaching, that the preaching be on the Scriptures and not on the priest's hunting trip or something, you know? And that's why. The present structure of the lectionary not only presents the more important texts of Scripture with some frequency, but also helps us to understand the unity of God's plan, thanks to the interplay of Old and New Testament readings, an interplay in which Christ is the central figure commemorated in his Paschal mystery. There is a whole introduction called The Order of the Readings of the Mass. I don't know if it's in English. I guess it would be. But the mystery is to see the whole of what happened in the Old Testament made Word of God for us. And already there, the Logos is present. The Logos was present to his people. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. As many as received him, they became sons of God. That's all Old Testament. Right after that comes, and the Word was made flesh. Now, the new dispensation. The Word was present to his people. Patristic texts, by the dozen, that talk about the presence of the Word. Irenaeus says he spoke with Abraham. He led Moses. The Logos. This is the mystery. And so, you all know, I think, that famous little dictum, Novus in vetere latet, vetus in novo patet. The New Testament is hidden in the Old, and the Old Testament becomes manifest in the New. So that's why the readings are the way they are. And I think I've already explained this. The Lectio Continua, the foundation is the Gospel. And from the Gospel, they find a text in the Old Testament which will illumine that text for us. And those two are joined together. Now, the second reading is easy from Paul, or it can be, for certain seasons, the book of Revelation or the book of Acts. It has its own rhythm. That's why on a Sunday Mass, it's not always easy for the priest to link all three. But if you pray, and if the priest prays, you'll see that there is an underlying theme developed particularly by the first and last readings, as we'll see today in this fifth Sunday of Easter time. So the Pope is helping us bring all that to mind. Whenever necessary, the competent offices and groups can make provisions for publications aimed at bringing out the interconnection of the lectionary readings, all of which are being proclaimed to the liturgical assembly as called for by the liturgy of the day. When we have a big feast day, a mysterion, which is what? It's an act of God in human history. So its depths, since the actor is God, are intimate. How do we enter into this mysterion, which has its own grace? If you have the time sometime, you might want to read Columba Marmion's book, Christ in His Mysteries. They put out a new edition of it, because you see, every big feast day, those readings are meant to bring us into the depth of that act of God in Christ and bring us into touch with His grace. The grace of Easter, the new life. The Word of God brings us there. So the readings are very important, okay? If there's any other problems, bring them to the Congregation for Divine Worship. They hear quite a bit, I bet. Nor should we overlook the fact that the current lectionary of the Latin Rite has ecumenical significance, since it is used and valued by communities not yet in full communion with the Catholic Church, which is wonderful. I think both the Anglican and the Lutheran churches use the same lectionary, which gives us something in common. And we're formed by the same word, the same Sundays or feast days. The issue of the lectionary presents itself differently in the liturgies of the Eastern Catholic churches. The Synod requested that this issue be examined authoritatively. They don't have the same theory of Lectio Continua and Old Testament eliminating the New. But I think it would be very profitable if in their own way they were to do that. In accordance, as the Pope says, with the proper tradition and competences of these other churches, likewise taking into account the ecumenical context, because if the uniate Eastern churches could come up with a lectionary that was acceptable to the Orthodox uniate churches, it would provide another communal reality between us. Huh? We have the liturgy, we have the Eucharist, but to have this other tie, and this great work being done right now, dialogue, East and West. Very encouraging. So, that's that part. Now, the next part is, the Synod on the Eucharist had already called for greater care to be taken in the proclamation of the Word of God. As is known, while the Gospel is proclaimed by a priest or deacon, In the Latin tradition, the first and second readings are proclaimed by an appointed reader, whether a man or a woman. I would like to echo the Synod's fathers, who once more stress the need for adequate training of those who exercise the munus, the office of reader in liturgical celebrations, particularly those who exercise the ministry of reader, which in the Latin rite is as such a lay ministry. It is so important. You see, we have to draw a fine line between reading, this is the word of God, and whatever it says, I will read dutifully, and you will listen dutifully, blah. But it could also be, this is the word of God. And both of these are extremes, you see. The reader has to enter into the word and serve it. And we have some very fine readers that do that. If it's too flowery, it makes a performance. If it's too dry, it's boring. Well, I remember somebody once training us in singing. And he said, now, when somebody gets up to sing a song, okay, as this person is singing, if they say, oh, isn't she sad? She's a failure. They should be saying, isn't that a sad song? It's the same. Oh, isn't he or she excited about this text? No. Isn't this text exciting? You see the difference? And so those are the instructions to the reader, okay? And as I say, it would be wonderful if the Eastern Rite churches could share a lectionary. They often do. The Synod on the Eucharist had already, I'm in the number, next number, had already called for greater care to be taken in the proclamation of the Word of God. And we were reading on that, and then the proper training. All those entrusted with this office, even those not instituted in the ministry of reader, should be truly, suitably, and carefully trained. This training should be biblical and liturgical, as well as technical. The person should be able to know what this text really says. This training, and the purpose of their biblical formation, is to give readers the ability to understand the readings in context, and to perceive by the light of faith the central point of the revealed missions. You see the difference between, oh, isn't she sad? You see, and isn't that a sad song? It's the same here. Isn't this, you see, isn't that reader dramatically presenting it? Isn't that text beautiful? So we serve the text, and our voice should be a carpet on which the text can walk to go enter into people's hearts.